Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Squirrel Rourke. Hi, Squirrel.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everyone.
Oh, you are such a sweetheart. Well, tonight's show I do with great joy and trepidation, all rolled up into one. I want to remind everybody that we really do look forward to your questions, and you can email them to squirrel at squirrel, just squirrel, like the animal, at wiyom.net during the show. We would ask you to try to keep them on topic. If you send in questions that aren't on topic, the team will decide whether or not they're going to answer them depending on the energy of the show and what they've got to say. So you kind of get pushed down and then be worked in at some point. We always keep the questions, so it's not like anybody doesn't get them. But we're trying to keep things pretty much on topic because this is such a powerful time right now. And tonight's show, Healing Our Relationships with Humans and ETs, our galactic family, actually, but, you know. all the energies are aligned right now to support healing of all relationships. Yes, all. To dig in and decide to process anger you feel as injustice, unfairness, or whatever your particular issue may be, as it relates to the relationships in question. They are symbolic of the larger issues and themes that you brought to work on and heal in this lifetime. This is good stuff. You know, I never get to read it. Now is the time to do it. There's a window of opportunity to heal on so many levels. Our relationship with other races, all the fear and anger as well. It's all one, as above, so below. Where have you felt disempowered? What secret anger do you hold? You may not even realize that you are holding it. Search, seek, and ask for support to heal all that keeps you from loving unconditionally. The team is certainly going to help. Always interested to hear what they have to say. Also, this is a real good time to be doing shadow work, by the way, because I found all mine in my shadows. So. Share the astrology stuff.
I will. It's like me and my shadow, huh?
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so there are a couple of things, and I think the big one we want to keep in mind is that this Sunday, Venus and Mars, who are both in Aries, will be conjunct. And Mars is rules Aries. So Mars is at home in Aries. Venus is going to kind of tweak things. This kind of conjunction could play out as a competitive situation of some kind, which is then ultimately pointless. I mean, if there is a winner and a loser in sex and love, you're playing the wrong game. If a situation in your life starts to feel testy, pushy, or like some kind of contest, stop and ask, who is competing for what exactly? This weekend, anyone getting competitive is likely to lose the very game they want to win. If you want to move things forward over these next few days, whether in love or anything else, avoid competitive people and seek out the cooperative ones. And that was from Len Wallach. And then, Jackie, this was another piece from Lee Harris, who wrote, "The emergence of light is stronger than ever. And in this month's energy forecast, I mentioned how the Earth herself is activating now, pulsing energy waves upwards, which we are feeling strongly in our bodies, emotions, and actions. These waves are activating our personal internal earths, root-based chakra and hearts. These chakras are now pulsing and cleansing out all that is unwanted or old." So he goes on to say, the release side will be broad, but will have a focus for many on anger, unresolved relationship energy, feeling unaligned with your life as a human being, a sense of change needs to happen internally or externally. So that's kind of what's up for everybody, I think. And the astrology is supporting it.
Yes. Yes, it is. And I, especially the Earth's activation of the heart and root chakra, which I've definitely been feeling, and unresolved relationship energies. These are big. So I'm going to share a couple of things here, which I don't normally go this much into other people's emails, but these are really big. And this one's from Natalia. I'm kind of editing as I go here. She says she went through something interesting and beautiful. She thought about the reptilians and how she really needed to forgive them. And then she meditated, and she heard that to really heal was to forgive. To forgive and let go of the old beliefs of that lifetime. We've all had lifetimes impacted by the reptilians, and so this is stuff that really sits on our subconscious, and it creates this kind of distancing we have with them. And they represent to us dominance, and because they are powerful beings, they're very powerful looking. And, you know, they've played some roles that weren't pretty, but most races have in one way or another, not all. Then she goes on to say that during this, she had let go of this lifetime that she had with them. And the information that was coming through to her is many are changed and they are helping the Earth. And as we are evolving, they are too, even the Illuminati, which I thought was an interesting insight. I had to go in and face it, and it was so different. As we have the yin and yang on Earth, so did they. And to judge, to forgive, is to be free of the mental belief around them. As there is light and dark on Earth, they have the same. But as we're healing, so are they. And now it's time to stop talking about them as negative. Because all that does is feed this whole concept that they're bad and wrong. I'm sure there are plenty of beings out there talking about the humans, even though our capacity to love is great. As we're seeing on the planet right now, our capacity for war is huge. let's see here. So, anyway, she started crying through this whole process out of love, not out of hate or anger. And it just went, she goes on to say that all types of people are playing on Earth, and so they are in the cosmos, of course. They are changing as they understand, also with a grace, so I bless them all. And the love was so amazing, as we need to understand that it's our minds, our human beliefs around them. They also said to have true trust in the universe. And all that's in the universe that leads us to having trust in ourselves and everyone on the planet, ultimately. As above, so below. This came up again. You know, it's interesting. When I started this work, I had real discomfort around the reptilians and the grays. And I really did not understand the grays and their role, and but what I have seen over time, it was really interesting. I went through a health challenge, one of my many, while I was in Las Vegas, and there's a human that I know, that I happen to know, he carries a lot of powerful reptilian energy, and it was really interesting because he came in his reptilian form with his own team of reptilians. And they worked on the body part where I was having all this challenge. And what was interesting is it got me through it. and they were very loving. They were not scary at all. And I have met different levels of reptilians, partially because of Jim Sparks, when I had him on the show a couple of times. They had a council that came in. They were very respectful. I will say that, absolutely respectful. And as Jim was talking about the different types of reptilians, there was only one time that I got uncomfortable, and he asked me, he said, "Are you uncomfortable about me talking about this?" I said, "When you get to that group, for whatever reason, I was uncomfortable." And that was, what, probably 4 years ago, maybe, 4 or 5 years ago. So, again, I think that after doing the intensive where we went and met with the draconians, I truly don't have any discomfort. And so this is all part of, if we're still in fear of beings out there, we're going to be in fear of beings here. It's all a reflection. It's basically all an illusion, but, you know, that gets pretty confusing, and we don't have a whole show to talk about that. All right, we got another letter that I, Janet, God bless her, she comes up with some amazing things. I truly want to heal, release, and forgive. This is Janet, who has shared many things with us, and she's amazing. Little did I know just how deep my hidden feminine rage went regarding the masculine. I called in the team for my last session asking to heal, release, and forgive so that I can be the greatest ambassador possible. In doing this, I truly, truly feel this in my heart. During the night, I was taken down the spiral of lifetimes, no time, called no time, parenthesis. I saw the dark ages, lifetimes of warring, conquering armies, suppression, humiliation of the feminine, and on and on. Then I saw the explosion of a planet which I assume must have been Maldek. It was. My heart, solar plexus, and throat hurt as the pressure was immense. My feminine rage was intense. Prior to this, I had no idea how deep my rage went. I kept saying I want to heal and release this rage as the pressure was so intense. A voice said, "Remember, there is only one now moment." In an instant, I was at the top of the spiral. I had merged with my child. As a child, I had traveled out a golden cord time and time again to return to the love that I longed for, only to be sent back into my earth body. I grabbed hold of the golden cord as if carried by angels, traveled down the spiral of lifetimes, bringing with me the light and the love of the goddess. In one of the lifetimes, the soldiers looked up and shielded their eyes from the light. I told them that I was from their future and bringing them love and light, and I traveled on until I remembered no more. Upon awakening, the words of Christ were in my thoughts. Makes me cry. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Team, you are amazing. I had no idea how deep the feminine rage and how long I've been carrying it. My body is buzzing all over this morning. I truly want to be the greatest ambassador possible. Whew. Okay,
that's lovely.
Feminine rage. Yeah, I just think it's so beautiful. Feminine rage. It's really coming up in very big ways right now. And it's coming in ways that we may not always expect. But it's racing to be heard and cleared. And I have to say I hit mine this week in a huge way. my precious son went into rehab, and it's a Catholic rehab, which I think is very interesting. And through the Salt Lake City Diocese. And he's thrilled to be there. And he's really there to find out why he sabotaged his life so many times. My son doesn't care about money or belongings. They really have no impact on him. He's always been this way. I've always been fascinated by. He could live out of 2 suitcases and be perfectly happy. he's had a hard time being on Earth. But, and he was off the pills before he got in. But he was still drinking. And so he's doing wonderfully. I think his other addiction was television. They have one television for all these people, so he doesn't really get to watch it, and they have limited hours, so he can't even exercise that addiction. We did a lot of review about his childhood and his adulthood. And his father and I were married for 20 years. I've been divorced for 26. So I find it really interesting that as we were reviewing things and trying to put pieces together, and he's asking me questions and I'm asking him questions, trying to piece back together his life, because I have found that I was memoryless about the marriage. It's like he would say something to me and I would have no clue what it was or what happened. But the need was so great for me to grab it, and for whatever reason, this stuff started to surface. And up until that time, all the way through the divorce, I had never raised my voice at a man. Go figure. And I can tell you that I hit a wall of rage, and the memories started lifting up out of my shadow, which is exactly where I put them, because it was too much for me to handle. And I mean, I have to say, it's a good thing I live alone, because I've walked around the house swearing like a sailor. And what I'm fascinated about is my bladder's getting so much better. I never could figure out where the anger was coming from with all the bladder problems I've had, and of course now I know. And I'm fascinated that it never even occurred to me, but I couldn't touch it because it was shoved in my shadow. No conscious memory, nothing. Never dealt with it. So, now, it's not his job to deal with how I feel about his father, or his sister feels about his father, or whatever. This is his, for him, that's his father. He loves him. I'm his mother. He loves me. We're there as support so that he can walk through his process and discover from his subjective reality how things looked for him. But I can tell you that this went so deep, and it hit the patriarchal masculine square. Absolutely square. You know, Italian father, you know, you cater to him, you do for him, you blah, 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 blah. Build his business, you know, polish his shoes, whatever. God, you know, nobody's ever going to believe this stuff about me, but
I believe it.
Okay, so at any rate, I'm allowing myself to really feel it, surface it, feel it, express it. Doesn't matter if anybody's here or not, I'm doing it. And I have to say to all of you, if you are carrying anger and rage over anything, get it processed. Because one of the big things I had to do was forgive myself for allowing all of this, regardless. You know, Bonnie and I have talked, yeah, I did the best I could under the circumstances, and, you know, I don't want to go into the poor me story because it's really boring as hell. However, self-forgiveness is imperative. And during this time right now, things are going to come to the surface that you're going to see more clearly than you've ever seen, hopefully. And when you do, like Janet, like Natalia, allow that to be real, because we are also projecting our anger and our fear out into the cosmos at a time when we need to be more benevolent than we've ever been. And I've always been a good one about forgiving and this and that and trying to make it okay. But we're humans. Rage is a real emotion. If we don't get it expressed and process it, it's absolutely, you know, I can tell you this is the reason I've been alone for so many years. I just absolutely would never put myself in that position again. Certainly at a subconscious level, where I would ever have to endure things that I found absolutely appalling. Now, I also know that when I go through stuff, everybody seems to feel it as well. It seems to amplify things. I haven't figured this out yet, but and maybe I'm just the guinea pig and...
You're projecting it into the cosmos.
whatever it is, okay?
I know. Right.
But I do know that the injustice, the arrogance, the subjugation, the dominance, the patriarchal better than, and entitlement, okay, are, and again, we're seeing this in North Korea. This is a kid with more testosterone that he knows what to do with and not enough wisdom to put it together. And this, even because I've been feeling this so strongly, even came to me as a reflection. One of my very best friends in the world loved her husband, and the marriage caved right before my eyes before I left Hollister. And it was a heartbreak to me because I loved them as a couple and their children. And I was at Easter, I was with her daughter and with her, but her daughter and I were off together. And I said, you know, I love your dad, and at some point he and I will come together, because he was very angry at me over all of this, blamed me for the divorce, which I thought was really funny. He didn't know I was fighting for him, but that's okay, too. And the daughter said to me, don't love him. He told my mom and me that you came on to him very strongly and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, are you kidding me? And of course, Brittany said, well, Jackie, I know you. You're sensual, you're sexual, but you would never act on it. And I said, hello? It was so fascinating to me that all these years I carried all this love for him, and the truth be known was that he told something so terrible to turn her against me. And it just, you know, it was like hard for me to believe. But I thought, oh, this is perfect that it comes up now as long as I'm dealing with all this stuff. but I have no anger at him, so... my ex-husband's getting it all. he's it. So I also want to say that we're seeing things begin to change. And Pope Francis is really, to me, a wonderful gauge. Because I really see him as putting the Christ back in Catholic. The way he, for any of you that, you know, may or may not be watching what's in the news about him, rejecting living in the Vatican, you know, washing the feet of people. He has stepped out of the mold of the pomp that we have, and circumstance that we have always known as the Pope, and become very real. You know, acting in a way that you would have expected Christ to act, that kind of love. And I think that this is a huge thing for the planet. Now, what's really interesting in this week, two men wrote a book. I don't have the name of the book, but if you search Pope and Extraterrestrials, it'll come up. Pope Francis and Extraterrestrials. they're now saying in this book that based on prophecies and so on and so forth, that the next Messiah will be an extraterrestrial, and it will be during the reign of Pope Francis and so on. I just find this fascinating. And, you know, just to make us all walk around scratching our heads, it'll probably be a reptilian just to really mess us up. Okay.
That's funny. The book's called The 12th Planet. Just so anybody's interested.
Are there two authors?
Let's see. I'm looking right now. Hold on.
Because I didn't remember that as the name.
Oh, gosh. I just went to a Spanish site. Sorry. Yeah, well, that's what it says here. His writings, I deal with the physical evidence, but already in my first book, The 12 Planets.
Well, that's Zachariah Sitchin.
Yeah.
No, this is not, the book is not written by Zachariah Sitchin. But there is a book out there, and I will find it, and we'll share it with you next week.
Okay.
I think it's a time for us to look at where our anger is directed, where our rage is directed, because we've done so much of this. Many people carry anger at the Catholic Church. And it's usually triggered when they see the Pope. I'm always fascinated by this. But I think they're going to be hard-pressed to be triggered by this Pope. You know, what's your view on this, Squirrel? Because you're, you know.
Well, it's certainly, I mean, I do think, I mean, across it, in presenting the Vatican in a different way, and certainly the religion in a different way, and I think the time is perfect for that, and I like what he's been doing so far. He seems more real, more touchable. I guess I'm just going to have to wait and see how it does all play out. But
he is a huge touching shift.
Yes, that's right. He's doing the healing work, like touching people. Like most of them have been so untouchable.
Well, I mean, to see a Pope washing the feet of people, I think is absolutely amazing. I don't think that's ever happened throughout the history of the Church. And so I am, and, you know, he's certainly supported gay rights. He's really come out as being a different kind. I mean, he's living in a hotel and doesn't want to move into the Vatican. He's always maintained, even when he was in, where is he from, Argentina?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even when he was there, he lived in a hotel. He didn't live in this very palatial place he could have. Again, he's always gone for the simplicity. I think that this is a really important piece that we need to pay attention to. And I think it's a precursor of things to come. When you see the Church break down, I would say that's a big sign that things are going to change. And the anger that we've carried and the fear that we've carried, and I still see all this stuff on the Internet about the reptilians and about the Greys. People still don't understand the Greys. And what they've been here doing. And I do understand that some people have had experiences that they feel were not very friendly, and yet, again, when Dolores Cannon regresses people, their experiences are very different because she takes them down into the somnolistic state, which is the lowest state, the deepest state. And I think they've had trouble understanding emotions since they bred them out, literally. But and the Anunnaki. And I think this has come up also with people, their anger at the Anunnaki, which if we go back to the Anunnaki, you know, they literally created it. And so I think a lot of our old beliefs are going to fall by the wayside as we move into a time of greater love for all of creation. And I think this is really the key, greater love for all of creation. We may not necessarily understand how some things are playing out, okay? We're still seeing cruelty. We're still seeing violence, and that is playing out. But we know, I mean, if we go back to Deepak Chopra, he's talked about it for years. What you see out there is what you haven't dealt with yourself. You want to end wars, heal your anger and your rage. Now, that's a pretty profound statement. And that comes from Deepak and from quantum physicists. Bottom line is, everything outside of ourselves is a reflection in some way. And, you know, that's not always a fun thing to own. But I really would recommend that you forgive yourself for any, because I've been doing a lot of that. I swear and then forgive myself and swear and forgive myself. Really, I should be down at the Naval Yard right now. Because
well, little girl, it's time to hear what the team has to say about this.
Okay, great.
Okay.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Well, it's an interesting combination, this show about rage and, as you call them, extraterrestrials. You know, we've talked about projection or reflection many, many, many times, and that your reality is yours. You have some participation in a collective reality, but your version of reality is yours, as seen through your eyes. More and more, you're going to become aware that you can be with groups of people, and you may see or experience one thing, and they may see or experience something totally different. And allowing that without making them right or wrong, or you right and them wrong, will be going to the higher levels and understanding that you're all becoming more multi-dimensional. And so you will view things differently and experience things differently. Now, talk about rage for a moment. Very important subject. If you're carrying anger and rage, pointing your finger at things, all right, the injustice of this and the wrong of that, and, you know, how could they do that, and the chemtrails and the this, every time you do that, you're adding energy to the very thing that you're unhappy about. Instead of putting energy towards what you prefer, when you look into the sky and see the chemtrail, see the sky as clear and free of any contaminants. Don't go to the other. In a way, everybody knows about the chemtrails. But in a way, you see, that single thing can make you feel like a victim, which immediately lowers your resonance. And you give away your power. And you add power to someone having power over you and the continued use of them, contrary to everything you really desire. Finger pointing isn't going to get you what you want to achieve. Choose the reality that you prefer. And we can hear people thinking, oh, well, you know, that sounds good, but how does that happen? You're going to align yourself by raising your vibration to a different version of reality. We've talked about this innumerable times. Innumerable times. In a moment, you can shift from one parallel dimension to another. And the more you understand that, the more empowered you become. We get back to the same issues all along. Beliefs, intentions, resonance, choices, decisions. It's all the same. But don't feel like a victim. Don't allow yourself to go there. Don't give away your power to that. We're using the chemtrails as an example. Rage. Rage and anger both are real emotions. They're very real. Many of you have suppressed them. Many of you have carried them through many lifetimes, not just this one. As Janet's email talked about, going through the series of lifetimes and all the reasons that she was angry, feminine rage. Make a decision, make a choice. If you have things that you need to express the anger, if you're still carrying it around, packing it in your fanny pack, this is the time to process it, write about it. And as always, forgive yourself. Because for every one of you, no matter what the injustice you may have experienced is, there's always self-blame somewhere in there that you allowed it to happen. Even if it's very subtle, so much easier to blame somebody else. But the truth is, in most cases, they couldn't do it to you unless you allowed it. We can take that further. You know, what would you have had to believe to allow that to happen and so on? Beliefs again. As always, set your intention to heal your anger and rage from all lifetimes. Now, that sounds like a pretty big order. We know that. As Janet went back and saw the implosion of Maldek, many of you carry the anger and rage at the loss of an entire planet. A loss so great that you can't even imagine what it would be like. Many of you still carry the anger from any of the three destructions of Atlantis. Many of you that work with us have processed through that, healed it. And the shame, the accompanying shame that came with it. That maybe if you had done something more, it wouldn't have happened. If I hadn't have bought into the fear, if I hadn't have given away my power. You see, you're playing a very big game here. And that's why it's so important now to heal. All of you are playing much bigger roles than you understand as ambassadors. You're the ones. You're the ones that are responsible for healing yourself first so that you can be the ambassador. Because if you're not healed, how are you going to deal with other races that may be frightening to look at, including the reptilians? We want you to think about that. And there, although Bashar won't say it, we will. There is a hybrid race of reptilians and humans. Hasn't been announced yet. It's one of the unnamed ones. It won't be first contact for a very good reason, because you wouldn't embrace them. We want you to think about all of these things, because in many ways, it's time to rethink. We've been talking about forgiving mom and dad and healing those relationships for a very long time. And that everything outside of that is a projection or a reflection, all right, from those original relationships. And add in the themes that you all came with. What did I come here? Well, a bunch of us got together and said, you know what, we're going to really have an experience on Earth where we get to be suppressed and mistreated and whatever, all kinds of injustice and unfairness at the hands of men. All right? And in the process of our healing, it's going to have an exponential impact on the collective. To push it further, faster, because it needs to happen. And to you women that are turned into men, we have to say how we understand that you're all angry, that you haven't been able to express your power through your entire lives. We get that. however, don't become the very thing that you're angry at. Don't become a reverse chauvinist. All right? Looking down at men, mistreating men, because of all that you have experienced in your lineage and your whatever and all your lifetime. That's not what this is about. There's no time for that pendulum to swing really wide right now. Step into your elegance. Heal your relationship with God and Goddess, so that you can hold the light that you came here to hold. That you can anchor it. And know that wherever you go, you are a living ambassador, not just one that says, here, meet so-and-so. We're talking about, as an ambassador, allowing your light to shine wherever you are. Knowing that you're impacting the earth and everything around you, every plant, every animal, even the bugs, positively, beautifully. Now, sounds like a lot to do, but it's really not. Making a choice to do it is the most important decision you ever made. Certainly. For a planet that's in a lot of trouble right now. Yes, it makes it through. There's a version of Earth that makes it through beautifully. And that's the version you want to be aligned with. So get rid of your rage so you end up on that version. All right, you don't want to be on any of the others. All right, Squirrel, you've got some questions for us.
I do have some questions tonight. This question comes from Vicki, and she writes, I was told about a method of releasing stuff, and it's called Access Consciousness by Dr. Dane Heer. Do you know of this, and from your viewpoint, does it look effective in helping me and others release their shadow? Love you, Jean, Vicki.
All right, Vicki. Here's what we're going to say to you. This is your life. All right? It's your shadow. What we will say, if it was that easy to heal the shadow, everybody'd be doing it. We think some of the processes are lovely, and we think they're wonderful. However, all right, those of you that are listening to the shows and working with us, we will only say that there is so much that you came to do, and that isn't enough. You took on far more than the norm. Can it help if you intend for it to? Yes, it can help. But shadow work is a spiritual imperative, and it requires processing. If there was a magic wand to heal it all, and we are very familiar with the work, by the way, will you feel lighter, happier? Yes, because people are doing different energy things to you, and it can be a wonderful adjunct. But it's not on everything. We promise you this. Because you're all put together differently. You came in caring a lot more than others for the simple reason that you knew in your process, you were going to have huge impact in your healing, you would have huge impact. For some people, all right, who don't understand shadow work, it's fine. But you all do. Working with the shadow, again, a spiritual imperative. You can't just lift it out. All right? Can you have some impact? Yes, they do some things called the bars, and they do other things. And yes, it's lovely. Is it going to get it all? No. No, it's not. And at this timing on the planet, you don't have the luxury of leaving those stones unturned. You're the scholars. You're your own scholar. You're here to lift up those stones and find out what's hidden there. You may not necessarily know the lifetimes or whatever, but certainly you took on the lion's share, each one of you, with the intent of assisting the collective. Remember that. All right. Another question.
Yes, this question comes from Yolanda, and she writes, I don't know for sure if I'm holding anger with my family, because one of the reasons I think I do is because I have felt belittled by them one way or another, always putting me down, maybe not intentionally, but they always made me feel stupid, dumb, unintelligent, and unappreciated. I would love to seek help so I can let all these feelings go. I really feel like I had put all this behind me, but sometimes they resurface. I don't feel like I'm angry, but it feels more like sadness. I would love to love unconditionally, where nothing matters but just love for others, happiness, fun, light, etc. Can you please tell me what all this means? I would greatly appreciate it with all my love and gratitude. And then she just goes on to thank you wholeheartedly, and that her father commented yesterday that he sees her as happy like he has never seen her before.
Oh, that's
so she says, thank you.
All right. Now, Yolanda, we're going to give you some homework, especially for you. Now, others can do it, certainly. When you speak about your family and you don't delineate who, that's all right too. We want you to get a tablet and write down all the members of your family that you feel have treated you in these ways. Excuse me. Then, we want you to rate them. Who hurt you the most? Who said the most to you that made you feel flawed? Less than. Imperfect. Not enough. And put a number by. That's number one. That's the one that was the meanest to me. All right, fine. And go through and rank each one from there. All right? Mom, dad, sister, whoever. Now, your homework is to sit down and write each one of them a letter based on the things that they said or did, and really let them have it. You hurt me. Now, don't gloss it over. I loved you so much, and I don't know. No. Dear mom, dad, sister, brother, whoever. the things you said to me hurt me deeply. They made me think I wasn't enough and convinced me that I was stupid. I know I'm really not. Deep in my heart, and really let it all out. Let it out. If you have to swear, swear. But write and write and write and write until you've said it all. You may have 5 or 6 pages. Remember when you did this to me? This is how it made me feel. I never thought I was enough because of that. I believed I didn't deserve. Each person that you feel was instrumental, get it out. That's the anger. All right? The rage, the anger, whatever name you want to give it. And you get through each person. At the end of each person, when you get done with the letter, you read it out loud. All right? Now, don't do it with everybody in the house. Do it alone. If you have to drive your car somewhere and stand out on a hillside, do it. And then burn the letter. And let the flames take all your rage. You'll find once you finish the letter, you're going to feel much better. And do that for each person. Now, well, I can't say those things to them. Yes, you can. It's your letter. Say whatever you need to say. Forgive them when you're ready. Once you write the letter, you'll find that the charge will be gone. And it may take, for you, it may be a matrix of this person, this person, this person, this person. That's okay, too. What you're going to find, Yolanda, once you get it all out, is that you won't blow up at things that are unrelated. Little things that'll trigger you and you overreact to. Because the anger is trying to get out. It's looking for a way to exit. And you're overreacting over here to some little thing, okay, instead of dealing with the real issue, which is the way you felt based on what family members said to you.
And I'm sorry, we're going to have to say goodnight soon.
Okay, all right.
I apologize for interrupting.
All right. No problem. Well, we're glad you did. All right. Now, we would love to work with all of you tonight or whenever you listen to this. Specifically, around finding your anger and your rage. You call us in. It may take a few days for it to show up, but it will show up. You may not wake up tomorrow morning with it right in your head. Some of you may. But you'll get the hints, the clues, and then the aha moment where it is. It may be more than one thing. That's all right, too. But it's time, people. You have a country right now poised to do something very stupid. Heal your anger and rage so it doesn't have to play it out for you. And we're very serious in this state. know that we love each and every one of you more than you can possibly imagine. Let our love in. Let our love in. We are here to support you through these dramatic changes and beyond. Our unconditional love to each and every one of you and to you, Squirrel.
Thank you.
Until we speak with you again in this format, dear one. Namaste.
Namaste.
We honor. We're probably off.
I think we're kind of the end. I think you might still be there.
Okay. Well, if we're still on, good night, everyone. We love you.
Good night. I love everyone, too. Good night, Jackie.
Good night, Squirrel. Love you, honey. Night, everybody.